The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. 0% APR for 72 months on F-150s, Explorers, Escapes, and Edges. It all ends on Monday. BillCurryFord.com. Get shopping. Get out there this weekend.
Maybe the hearing's going. I might need a hearing aid. What the heck's going on over there? I cannot let this go on. I plead not guilty. What happened? Steve, I picked them to win 11 freaking games. Keep your eye on New England and O.J. Howard.
Welcome to the Ira Kaufman Podcast, a real training camp edition. Because it is on, we are presented by Bill Curry Ford, which presents all of Ira's work at joebucksfan.com. And of course, if you're new to the podcast, the sage of Tampa Bay sports is also Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Uncle Ira, the King of Pasco County, Mr. Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks Fan is here. Sage, episode 2 this week, and we just talked to Bruce Arians, and here we are. How are you?
You know, I'm a little disappointed, gentlemen. I don't know. Maybe my expectations are unrealistic, but I don't think it was vintage Arians. And it's not the fact that he had a big mask cover on his mug, which I don't blame him. If I was in that facility, I'd be wearing that mask 24/7. And by the way, he intimated that he's going to be wearing a shield once he gets going, going to have a face shield, and he's looking for the right one that feels comfortable. But, you know, the Arians' humor, the Arians' candidness, that he could have been Mike Zimmer today. I mean, he could have been. Very matter of fact, didn't crack any jokes, very serious. You know, the enormity of the situation is upon him. I don't blame him. He thinks he's going to get through the season. That's the good news. He thinks everybody's going to report. That's the good news. But Lee, he confirmed what is the obvious. He's been in this game a long, long time, and this is a season unlike any other. And I don't think he's making any promises about what's ahead. It's going to be a day-to-day adjustment, but I didn't think it was vintage Arians.
I caught a couple of one-liners, but he seemed a little subdued. You're right. A little depressed, maybe. But I caught a couple one-liners. Like, you know, when he was asked how he was taking care of himself before he got the $1 this summer, basically right. Said, yeah, I won't be going to my same bars and restaurants, but you're welcome to come over to the house. That was one I thought was pretty good. another one was when he was asked about rookies, and I already wrote the story that he said no rookies are penciled in as starters, that he's not going to start any rookie unless he sees him play and not make mistakes. That was the kicker. And not make mistakes.
That's right. That's right.
So, I thought that was very interesting that, you know, Wirfs and Winfield, maybe a month ago, everybody thought were almost locked in as starters. They're not starters, at least as we speak in the end of July.
Ira,
you know, Ira, Steve,
I've got questions for you, and I have, I'm upset with you already. We're 3 minutes into the darn podcast. I'm pissed off. Kim, come on, Ira.
Fire away, Isbitz. Fire away.
The guy's wearing a mask. He's wearing a freaking tight mask. You can't even see him smile, and you're giving him grief about being subdued. What do you want him to do? He's sitting on Zoom. It sucks. Come on.
I want him to crack wise, Steve. We got a very somber situation, and I want a little levity, Mr. Isbitz.
Lee
now,
shared a little levity, and look, Arians said rookies are. He's a little upset the rookies didn't have more time with Brady. They're scared of him. Maybe they'll have the balls to talk to him in a week. What other coach is saying that? Come on. Shame on him.
You know, listen, you mentioned rookies and Lee mentioned rookies. And I think this is maybe the main takeaway. We had guys penciled in, certainly Wirfs, possibly Winfield, possibly Johnson, as contributing mightily, possibly Vaughn, contributing significantly as rookies. And now, with the exception of Wirfs, and I'm not even sure about Wirfs, although I think if he doesn't start in the Superdome, it's a major disappointment. Major. A 7-9 team doesn't start its first-round pick. That's a problem right there. But as far as, you got to think about this. Without a preseason game, not one, Tristan Wirfs will line up against Cam Jordan and possibly Winfield, if he comes in to play the slot, might be asked to try to get a handle on Michael Thomas, who's only the best slot receiver in football. This is going to be their first game action, gentlemen. And if you take away Drew Brees from the equation, those are arguably the two best players on the New Orleans Saints, who have won the division 3 years in a row. So that's a tall order. I think this is going to hurt big time. Messrs. Vaughn, Winfield, you know, Johnson, and possibly even worse. This is a big, big situation for the Buccaneers about whether Arians can trust these guys to go into New Orleans and perform the first time they're ever facing anybody in another uniform. That's a tough one, gentlemen.
Yeah, I have to ask you to define something for our listeners. Now, you have to remember, our listeners, the median age generally is not 75. You're going to have to explain to people, I'm one of the very few people that know what Messers is. But I'm going to explain to people what Messers is. I know it's one of your favorite lines, but I'm willing to bet $100 that there's only three or four people that listen to your podcast that know what Messers is.
Lee, I guess it would be the plural of Mr. When you're counting two or three guys, which I was. You say Messers instead of Mr. Jordan, Mr. Breeze, Mr. Thomas, Mr. Kamara. No reason to say all that. You give it the little umbrella over there, Stephen. Now, certainly Steve's not 75, but certainly Steve knew what I was talking about with Messers.
I did, Ira, but I'm a very cultured person, and I've been around you for years. But you know what, Ira? What's the plural of nonsense? Because you're spewing all this nonsense. I don't know what the hell's going on. I might have to bow out for a little bit. First, I don't believe Bruce Arians. Not starting Tristan Wirfs, that's a bunch of crap.
I didn't say Wirfs wasn't going to start. I didn't say that.
Well, I know you didn't, but if he doesn't start, then it's just a crock of garbage. How's he going to get any better? Arians is full of nonsense. Let him get out there and make some mistakes. It's the only way he's going to work it out. That's what this year is about. You know what? I hate to say it as a Bucs fan. They're probably going to lose to the Saints anyway, even if they're full strength. Let these guys go on the field, make some mistakes. Maybe it humbles the team and get them ready for down the road here when, so they can improve and we can use their talents. I can't even imagine a world where the organization has a brain in its head if it doesn't start Tristan Wirfs from day one and tell him he's the starter from day one and groom him as such and let him know that, hey, there's no mercy here. You're playing, you're getting in there, and if you suck, maybe we'll pull you out.
No, I definitely make a distinction between Wirfs and the rest of the draft picks. I do. Now, DeKemper, I cannot let this go on because we got Isbit spewing nonsense. Lee, correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe my hearing, you know, I'm not 23 anymore. Maybe the hearing's going. I might need a hearing aid. Did Isbitz just say the Bucs are not going to win the season opener even if they're fully healthy? What the hell's going on with Isbitz? They're four-point underdogs. They slapped the Saints silly 2 years ago in the season opener in New Orleans with a backup quarterback, certainly not Tom Brady leading the way. The Saints aren't necessarily better than they were in 2018. So, Lee, what is your partner in crime thinking about over there?
Well, you've been kind of stoking his fire a little bit. You've been talking about how, you know, the lack of an offseason, the lack of a preseason, a soft training camp is going to catch up with them. New quarterback, new right tackle, whereas the Saints, they're just going to roll out like a practice. And how tough they are at home, how is Brady going to communicate with the rest of his teammates in that dome when he's brand new? You kind of stoked the fire there, Ira. I
plead not guilty, absolutely not guilty. I talked about some of the obstacles that the Bucs are facing in the season opener. Steve, I picked them to win 11 freaking games. So am I going to, you know, dump the season opener just like that?
I'm not dumping the season opener, Ira. Maybe you do need a hearing aid because I said they're probably going to lose anyway. So you can't keep these rookies off the field. You got to give them a chance. Otherwise, they're never – when are you going to play them? They got to jump right into the fire. And Arians has the biggest coaching staff in the league. Get these guys as ready as every other rookie. And you know what? If Wirfs needs a little help, that's what a tight end is for.
Well, Antoine Winfield's job just got a little easier, gentlemen, because didn't Arians just indicate that Evans is going on the injured list to start the season already?
Yeah, well, you know, like someone on Twitter sent out a message to us, water is wet.
Jesus Christ.
And, of course, you're referring to Justin Evans, who will start the season on the physically unable to perform list, which was, he said, we'll see how his right foot responds. That doesn't sound good on July 28th.
This is the most mysterious injury at one buck place since MRSA was creating havoc.
Oh, I don't think there's any mysterious element about it whatsoever. The guy can't stay healthy. They should wave goodbye to him. And I love Justin Evans. Every time I spoke to him, he spoke to me. I think he's a good guy. I have nothing against Justin Evans, but you got to play. This ain't high school. This ain't college where you can sit and take a year off and get another year of eligibility down the road. This is now. This is the pros. You can't hack it. Move on. I thought it was a mistake banking on Justin Evans last year for this very reason. And he never played.
Steve, correct me here. And like you need some encouragement here, Isbeth. Steve, J.R. Sweezy. I'm just talking about guys that come to mind off the top of my head. Carl Nix.
Why do you have to upset Bucks fans like this?
Steve, what's going on with some of these injuries that are unexplained? They're never detailed, and the next thing you know, the guy's gone. And by the way, isn't Sweezy playing football right now? Sure he is.
What was not detailed about Carl Nix? He had a MRSA infection in his toe.
Nobody thought it was career-threatening at the time. Not at the time. Career-threatening? The guy's 28 years old.
Well, did he play again? He never took a snap anywhere in the NFL.
I don't know. It just seems like these crazy injuries seem to dog the Bucks at the worst times.
Sweezy, I'll give you that, because the guy absolutely would not talk about it. I must have asked him 3 or 4 different times about the injury, and he was a nice guy, but as soon as you brought that up, he shut you down, interview was over. That's mysterious, I'll give you that. But Nick, there's nothing mysterious about it.
I got another one, gentlemen. Kendall Beckwith.
What's mysterious about it?
What happened? What the heck happened? What did he do to his ankle?
Explain?
What did he do
to his ankle? He smashed it in a wreck. That's what he did. He can't play again. He sure tried.
So you repair it. You repair your ankle. You take a year and a half and you repair it.
Shattered ankle. Outside of a foot transplant, how do you repair a shattered ankle?
If I'm just guessing here, he probably had permanent nerve damage that they just can't fix. So he's just not the same guy. You lose a step and a half, no matter who you are, you're done. So, yeah, it's old news.
I think the Bucks kept him because they felt so bad that, hey, we'll put you on some injury list. You can collect some money.
Ira, everyone should know that you, Ira Kaufman, drive a 2020 cherry red Ford Escape, and you love it, and it's from Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford is Tampa's first family of Ford. You know what that means, Ira? That means they've been around as long as you have, and they're family-owned. The family's on site. General Manager Sean Sullivan, our friend, is 100% available in every possible way to help Bucks fans get the best deal they possibly can. He'll talk to you. He'll write to you. He'll text you. He'll do whatever he can to make it right and make you feel just fantastic, better than ever, about purchasing a vehicle at Bill Curry Ford or getting service or their excellent body shop that I've used. BillCurryFord.com is the website. It's the end of the month. We make no secrets about saying that's the best time to get a phenomenal deal. You know, if you're planning a vehicle shop this weekend, get to BillCurryFord.com now and then get out there Saturday morning. Sean will help you out and you'll be blown away by the 0% financing offers. BillCurryFord.com. Ira, listen. More from Bruce Arians. We heard a lot today, and we also heard sort of an implication that Donovan Smith has given no indication that he won't play. Lee put up a report out of ESPN on JoeBucksFan.com that said a source says that Smith is reporting, but he still has to opt out. And a lot of guys have opted out around the league, Ira. The Patriots have lost 6 players, big-name players. Smith, if he was worried about how it might be received, I don't think anybody would quibble with him in a major way if he walked out.
I was a little taken back. I don't know how you guys felt about it, but I don't know. I was a little bit surprised that Arians wouldn't reach out himself to Donovan Smith once Smith made those comments about, I don't know whether it's worth it to play football this fall. If I'm the head coach and my left tackle is saying that and I got Tom Brady, job one, keep Brady upright. I don't know. I think I'd want to talk to Donovan Smith, hear him out. I don't say to change his mind, but to get peace of mind and see where his head's at. Is it a little surprising that Arians took a hands-off approach here?
You know, it's an excellent observation, Ira. I never thought of that, and I think you're right, but there's only, I'm not trying to be Isbatu, Mr. Contrarian, but the only thing I can think of, and I don't know if this is accurate, and this may sound like complete BS, I'm not making excuses, I'm thinking out loud, I don't know the answer to this question. Are coaches allowed to contact players in that dead period, you know, during the summer?
Well, this is not pre-free agency here, where you can't get your hands dirty. I mean, it's not like Arians doesn't know Donovan Smith. Donovan Smith played 15 games for Coach Bruce Arians last season. He had a lot of contact with Donovan Smith during the course of the year. And it's not like he's a new coach coming in, doesn't even know the guy. I was a little surprised. Steve, if I'm the coach, I want to know more about the situation with my left tackle.
I hear you, Ira. You know, you just don't know what to believe. And maybe, you know, these coaches are not allowed to be in contact with players about football matters. So, you know, maybe Arians just figured, what do I need to know right now? I might as well just wait till he shows up. If he doesn't show up, we'll have our answer. But you would think that somehow Jason Light, at the very least, would get the answers through the back channels by talking to Smith's agent somehow. You know, there are legal ways to do these things, if you will.
I think it's fair to say, with the vibes that are coming out of One Buck Place and other sources regarding Donovan Smith, I think it's fair to say that if Donovan Smith does not report and does not participate in training camp, this is a bigger problem than first anticipated, because I think he would have communicated his intentions by now. What are you trying to do, surprise the football team? Unless they would have said no comment, but all indications are Smith's showing up, and if he doesn't, I think it's a bigger issue.
You just never know what's going to push him in either direction. You know, as even Arians said, which I was surprised, Ira, and Lee mentioned it earlier, he's going to wear a face shield, but he hasn't figured out which one he likes yet. I mean, the guy's had two months to try on face shields. You know, there's just, I thought that was just sort of a evidence that they're still working things out, still working out details, and there's a lot to consider. All right, Ira, you're in your house, you see some water, you smell some mold. What do you do?
What do I do? I call Florida's Elite Restoration pronto. I don't waste any time. Florida's Elite Restoration. Look, there are certain things that go wrong in every house. Mold stands alone in many ways. And if you dilly-dally and waste time about addressing it, you've probably got a major problem on your hands. Alternatively, if you call Florida's Elite Restoration quickly, as you should, then a potential major problem gets handled in a prompt manner, an economical manner, and a quick manner.
And Sage, they will come to you free. They'll talk to you free. It's all free to figure out what's going on. FloridasElitereStoration.com is the website. FloridasElitereStoration.com. You can get information there, get all your contact numbers, reach out to them online. Great local company. As you said, Ira, they'll help you with any disaster possible.
Call Florida's Elite Restoration pronto. Hey, Steve, speaking of detail, I'm surprised you haven't brought this up, Steve. You might be saving this for the closing stages of this podcast, but I know somebody like you with your antenna up. I know you picked up on this because I did. And, Steve, I think it was you that asked him, what did he do football-wise, not playing golf, what did he do football-wise during the last couple of months? And you asked him specifically about Brady. And, guys, his answer was that they did their research on Brady before they signed him. I don't know. That doesn't seem adequate to me. I would have spent at least a good part of the last 2 months, rather than approaching the 14th green in Georgia, studying tape. Steve, didn't you mention studying the last 30 games that Brady played in New England? He scoffed at that, disregarded it, didn't even answer that. And here's the question I'm posing to the two of you. And he said it, he reiterated it, and it's been brought up in this podcast. And I'm not quite sure what this means. You guys have to educate me on this. Didn't he again say we're not going to try to teach 21 guys a new playbook? Well, I don't like that answer. I'm not asking for a new playbook. I'm looking for an expanded playbook that includes plays that Tom Brady is fond of. There's nothing wrong with that. And if 21 guys have to learn it, so be it. I don't know. It almost sounds like he's coming back with this, with the 2019 playbook, and I can't imagine that's the case.
Well, I thought it was very interesting that he said that, and I was coming at it from a wholly different angle. You know, when he said, you know, our offense was so good last year, I'm not going to teach 21 guys a new offense. I'm like, well, yeah, I that makes sense. I agree with that. Why fix something that's not broken? And then the very next thing I thought, well, wait a minute. Didn't you get rid of the main reason that offense was humming? I mean, immediately I thought that makes sense. I'm like, whoa, hold up.
You know, Steve, you can't be inflexible and try to argue that Tom Brady and Jameis Winston are the same type of guys under center. Winston does some things better than Brady and vice versa. The biggest difference is the number of mistakes, obviously, and that's why Brady's here, and that's why Winston isn't here. But to suggest that, well, we don't even have to tweak our playbook, Steve, am I reading too much into this?
Well, I think the reality is we know that it is going to look different, and Tom Brady's going to drive a lot of that, and the playbook might be the same, just the plays that they didn't necessarily use for Jameis may all of a sudden appear with Brady. But I know where you're driving, Ira, and one thing I just want to clarify for everyone, I asked Bruce Arians, football-wise, not golf or ping-pong or whiskey, football-wise, what did you do with all this extra time in the spring and summer? Football-wise. And, of course, he went to the golf and hanging out at the lake, and I pushed it a little bit, and I asked him, to say football-wise what he was doing, what he was focusing more on, such as, watching the last 20 games of Tom Brady, that kind of thing, and nothing. He had nothing, and he scoffed at watching more Brady. He could have said anything, Ira. He could have said, I went back and watched every game Tristan Wirfs played in college. I looked at our secondary, and I asked him about self-scouting. He said, no, we did it all. We're good, which is just, speaks to the guy's very confident, which is great. But you know what? You got all this time to innovate and get better, and it seems like Arians is just not really wired to do that.
I share that, Steve. Maybe he was exaggerating a little bit. You would think if he wasn't immersed in football, Lee, for the last 2 or 3 months, at least it was a part of his everyday life up there in Georgia, talking to Leftwich, talking to his coaches, preparing for training camp, getting a regimen down. I'm glad he showed confidence when I asked him if he thought it would be a 16-game season, Lee. He believes it will be. I'm not as confident as Arians in that regard. We shall see. I think the key word is flexibility. Look what baseball's going through. He made a big point, Lee, that football teams aren't on the road as much as baseball teams. He also made a huge point. He must have said it 3 times, guys, that if guys are infected with the coronavirus, it's not going to happen at one buck place. He repeated it several times, and also with the caveat, well, we can't control what they do when they leave the place. Are you as confident as Arians that this place is going to be locked down with 90 guys walking around? I don't know.
Well, more than 90 guys. You got to remember, there's also staffers.
Yeah.
But he was pretty adamant that, if I remember right, he said, nobody's going to get sick here. And that's interesting because a couple months ago, he said, everybody's going to get sick.
Exactly. I mean, it was ludicrous. So, I'm so glad you mentioned that, Lee.
So I just thought that was an interesting turn of table. Here's the way I look at all this. Yes, there's going to be a 16-game season. If guys get sick, they'll pull guys from practice squad, or they'll do like they do any other time. They'll pull guys up from the sidewalk. As long as they test positive, there'll be a game. I just, not to jump on top of what we talked about in the last podcast, but I just think the hysteria about what happened with the Marlins is way over the top. Like, a handful or, 12 guys, whatever it is, they test positive, and like all of a sudden, oh my God, there's not going to be college football, and the NFL, we're going to move to the Super Bowl, and Just calm down, people. I don't know if he's right or wrong, but Peter King quoted some hoity-toity doc, and the guy said, hey, we're not going to see a vaccine for 4 years. So either we learn to deal with this virus, or we cower in fear in our bathrooms. What's it going to be? So I think there's going to be a season, full season.
Steve, you know, speaking about confidence and coming from Arians, besides, you know, all his positive comments about Tom Brady, of course, and his leadership skills and how that's going to spread out to everybody on this football team. Steve, I think the guy, when he, if he reads a transcript of the Arians Zoom call, and I don't know if there will be one, but if he watches the Zoom call on video, I think the Buccaneer that's going to have the biggest smile is a young cornerback named Carlton Davis, gentlemen. I think Arians went a little too strong with the Carlton Davis. I think Jamel Dean is right there with Davis, if not ahead of him, in terms of his play late last season. But Bruce Arians loves himself a little Carlton Davis over there.
He does, Ira. He does. You know, it we'll find out when the season starts who actually assumes the number one cornerback role, who's going to take on those big guns. And, you know, last year they kind of rotated it. I mean, Carlton Davis has a ton of talent. He's inconsistent. He's gotten his share of penalties more than most. And, you know, we'll see. I just don't think they have a number one corner. We've talked about this. I think they've got a bunch of number twos. And maybe that's a system that'll work if Winfield is really the player that they hope he's going to be. As far as not catching the virus at one buck, I mean, I didn't really know what to think when he said that. I mean, it's really just kind of nonsense. I don't really know what he was possibly thinking there. You know, it's a virus. What? Come on. Anybody can give these players coronavirus, and it isn't necessarily detected immediately. The Bucks, from what I understand, are not employing instant testing, which isn't 100% accurate. They're doing the 24-hour testing kind, and, you know, you just can't control it. Plus, it's tackle football. Come on. And Arians himself, when I asked him, he was very clear that there'll be more hitting in this training camp when the pads come on. There'll be more tackling to the ground. And he said they'll have to be careful, but you got to hit. And last podcast, that's how we ended, is you guys had a little chat about eliminating hitting and that potential, as Lee brought up from the Albert Breer story of the Dartmouth coach who has eliminated hitting in his program for the most part. You know, but Arians is going to do more hitting. I already think that'll be the case around the league, or Arians will be sort of in one of two camps here.
Well, I mean, it's coach's prerogative. I think Arians is going to be determined towards the latter stage of training camp that we have to whip these guys into shape. We have to be ready for week one. I think in the back of every coach's mind, the importance of each game, I think, is exaggerated this season with the possibility of a shortened schedule. Roger Goodell has never said the NFL will play a 16-game schedule. It is set in stone. He has not said that.
That's very true. Florida wrote about that.
Yes. And so you got to go on the fly. I mean, the Miami Marlins can attest to that. Steve, that stuff about not getting the infection at one buck place, I think, is Arians' reflection on how he thinks the proper protocols are in place at one buck. But Lee, as Steve alluded to, you can have all the protocols in place. There's plenty of opportunity for things to fall through the cracks, Lee, during the course of 6 weeks of guys jamming together in a facility. You know, the opportunity for spread is considerable.
You know, earlier, Ira, you were saying, you know, you thought maybe Arians was a little too subdued a little bit.
Yeah, he was subdued. Yeah, he was subdued.
And then Steve was mentioning how, you know, over the top he might have been, where it goes from 2 months ago, everybody's going to get sick, to now, nobody's going to get sick. Well, could he have been putting on that face? You mentioned Donovan Smith. Could he have been putting on that face specifically for Donovan Smith? What I mean by that is, if Arians would have got up there and would have echoed what he said earlier, oh my gosh, we better have a a practice squad of 80 guys because we're all going to get sick. You don't think Donovan Smith might like, that's it, I'm done.
You know, I didn't think of that. But given Donovan Smith's public remarks, which were pointed, which seemed to lean at the time to not showing up at training camp, appeared to. You're right. What if Arians comes in to echoes remarks from a few weeks back and Donovan Smith sure to watch the video of his head coach when he's making one of the biggest decisions of his life? You're right. Arians has to be very careful what he said.
Yeah. Well, let's just hope that schedule includes October 25th, Ira.
Vegas.
I understand.
Yeah, there's a chance that, when they did speak to Donovan Smith, they might have reached out to somebody else and said, hey, tell Donovan to come in, take a tour. We want to show him all the protocols. Don't make a hasty decision. We won't be mad at him if he decides at the last minute. We're not going to go pick up a left tackle anyway of substance. Could be tied to that.
Did Arians indicate that the Bucs aren't interested in adding a running back at this time? I think he did.
He did. He was very explicit. He said no interest in making any changes to that position as a result of Keyshawn Vaughn, possibly being out for a little while related to his testing for the virus or his being quarantined related to exposure. So, that could also be negotiation. Doesn't want the agents here hearing, we're shopping right now. I got Jason on the horn after he gets me his coffee.
He's also very happy with the pass rush. And you know what? Assuming guys stay healthy, and I think that's a hell of an assumption, especially this year. But if that's your assumption, it's a pretty darn good pass rush, guys. But the depth, I think, is a problem. It was not exposed last year. Sue played. Via played. JPP, once he came in, he played. Barrett played. So it wasn't a problem. They had Nassib. This year, you take away a JPP and no Nassib, that would have a big effect on Shaq Barrett. He's no longer a surprise. I think it's going to be very interesting how teams approach Barrett. I think he's going to be talked about an awful lot in the week leading up to the game, where maybe that wasn't the case until maybe mid-season last year. So he's starting. The anonymity is gone for Shaq Barrett. Let's see how he responds. I don't think he's going to flop. Doesn't mean he's going to get 19 sacks, but I think 12 is a nice big fat number, and if I'm the Bucs, I'd be satisfied with that.
Now, we know the Patriots have lost six guys now to the opt-out, and some big names, Patrick Chung, Hightower, they're hurting now as far as quality players. Forget about what side of the ball they're on, but they also now get a lot more salary cap room to play with immediately. Now, we know that the rumors for two consecutive years have seen the Patriots interested in O.J. Howard. Now they've got house money to play with, and they probably need to score more points than they thought they did with their number one defense getting depleted. I've got my eye, Ira, maybe you tell me if I'm wrong. I got my eye on the Patriots, maybe coming back after Howard one more time.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time that Belichick swung a deal for a near tight end either. I believe that he was involved in the Logan Mankins deal, a Buccaneer tight end, who I think only lasted one season in New England. What was that guy's name, Steve?
Tim Wright.
Yeah, Tim Wright. Who had a pretty good year for the Bucs the year before. And I think he caught six or seven touchdowns for Belichick.
Yeah, he got a Super Bowl ring. He played well. He was like a top red zone target for Brady. And then they said, we don't need you. And then his career fell apart after he got hurt.
To Steve's point about O.J. Howard and New England's interest, I do think New England has had an interest. I think they have an ongoing interest. God knows they need more weapons for Cam Newton or Stidham, whoever wins the quarterback job, probably Newton. Yeah, certainly Newton if he's healthy. And I don't think it was a cap situation that has prevented this deal from coming from fruition. I think it's Jason Light's inability to get what he feels is true value for O.J. Howard. I think if the Bucs can get what they want for Howard, I think he's gone yesterday. But that value might be a second-round pick, and I don't think they're getting it. So the Bucs have to be a little bit flexible. in that regard. But I think Steve's point is well taken. And keep your eye on New England and O.J. Howard. I think that's a story that's going to stay alive throughout training camp.
Sage, I wanted to throw this past you before we get the heck out of here. And, of course, everyone can listen to the podcasts. Apple Podcasts, if you got an iPhone, the podcast is in there for you. Just go to Apple Podcasts. It's right there under Ira Kaufman. You could search joebucksfan.com. There are many other platforms to find the Sage. We did an episode that published Tuesday morning, so you can catch up there. And, of course, we thank Bill Curry Ford, who presents all of Ira's work, Florida's Elite Restoration, floridaselite-restoration.com. That's where you can get all the information on the right guys, the local guys, to help you when there's a disaster in your home. You want to call them first for a free assessment. And Big Storm Beer, we drink that nonstop, and Ira will be out there at the Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater all season long for road games, outdoors, covered, watching games with Bucks fans. Drink Big Storm Beer whenever you do drink beer. It's Florida's best craft beer.
Steve, one thing I was very encouraged about Bruce Arians on this Zoom call. He was asked about how apprehensive he was about coaching this season and whether the presence of Brady softened any concerns because of the excitement of what this team's capable of doing. And I really loved Arians' answer to that question, which was, I was coming back. I was coming back. And not because Tom Brady's aboard. I mean, of course, that's a plus. But I think had he said that, I think it would have revealed a little bit of ambivalence on Arians' part about health concerns. And he did not broach that one bit. To me, that speaks to Arians' excitement about this team overall. As a matter of fact, he mentioned that. He says, I like this football team. He didn't say because we got Tom Brady and Gronkowski. I think he would have said it regardless. And I think he liked this football team at the end of the 2019 season, but thought that they were too self-destructive. And how can you argue with that? But I like the fact that Arians is going into this season with the same expectations and excitement as Buck Nation. It's a good combination. Hey, guys, I don't know if I can pull this off, but I'm going to try. I got a phone call today, went to voicemail, from Mr. Ron Jaworski. And Ron, noting that I am a member of the senior committee for the Hall of Fame. I think there's only going to be five guys from the senior committee that are involved in picking the senior candidate. And by the way,
yes, Bill Bradley.
By the way, you talk about a daunting task. I mean, there's probably 50 guys that you can make a credible case for, 50 guys that have played in the last 50 years that have somehow been bypassed for a bust. You know, guys like Drew Pearson, Randy Gratishar, certainly Ken Riley. I mean, Ken Anderson. There's a lot of guys, and they're only going to pick one. So anyway, I'm also involved with picking a head coach. The next head coach, and of course last year was Jimmy Johnson and Bill Cowher, and that left guys like Mike Holmgren, Tom Flores, and Dick Vermeil kind of standing on the side of the road waiting for their turn. And Jaworski called me today because he wants to talk to me about Dick Vermeil, who of course coached the 1980 Philadelphia Eagles to an NFC championship where they lost in the Super Bowl to the Raiders. You know, no great shame in losing to a great Raiders team. And Jaworski was the quarterback, of course. So I'm going to call him back. And Jaworski is always an entertaining interview. Talk to him. Yeah. Talk to him a lot of times. Lee, you've talked to him a lot. Very informative. Very entertaining.
Oh, yeah. Does his homework. Yeah, yeah.
Does his homework. Knows the quarterback position very, very well. He was a darn good quarterback. Not a Hall of Fame quarterback, but a darn good quarterback.
I thought maybe you were going to say that that Jaworski was going to kind of twist your arm about Bill Bradley, the linebacker. Was it Bill Bradley? Wasn't there Bradley?
There was a quarterback. There was a linebacker named. They also had a guy named Jerry Robinson. They had Bill Bradley.
He was okay.
Bradley might have been a safety.
I know him and Conrad Dober had like wars. they would just go crazy against each other. I thought he was going to politic you about Bradley or Harold Carmichael.
Well, Carmichael just got in. He just got in, and he got in on the centennial class. He beat out Cliff Branch in the process, which
a little surprising.
Yeah, a lot of people were upset about it. Anyway, Steve, I'm hoping I can talk to Jaworski about Mr. Brady and the fortunes of the 2020 Buccaneers. And if I do, I'll bring it to our readers in a provocative column, because Mr. Jaworski's always provocative. He never lacks for an opinion, never. And I might be able to ask him one question. He might talk for 20 minutes, gentlemen. I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to call him back this afternoon.
Was Bill Bradley? The only reason I hesitated, because most people, you say Bill Bradley, and they think of the former Knicks forward and the senator, former presidential candidate. Bill Bradley, and you're right, Ira, he was a safety.
You know, sometimes, sometimes, Steve, my memory even stuns me sometimes, Stephen.
Ira, I'm curious, did, in your initial voting for the Hall of Fame, right, wasn't there a first wave already?
You're talking about seniors?
No, for the modern candidates, wasn't there a first wave off the guys on the ballot this year?
There was not. There was not the cut to 25 yet. Not yet.
Okay, not yet. So that's the first cut. Are you going to vote Wes Welker in there, Ira?
Well, you've got to be retired 5 years. I don't know if Welker qualifies yet, Stephen.
Yeah, he's out. He's on the ballot.
Well, he's probably got a couple of 100 catch seasons, that guy. He might be in that land of very good, and that is a very difficult distinction. For example, and I don't want to get in trouble on this podcast because some of these people from the left coast might be listening, but on Twitter, I don't know if you guys notice it. You might not get these tweets, but there's a growing little entourage for advocacy for Roman Gabriel. Roman Gabriel. And these guys, they're very loud. I mean, last year it was for Tom Flores, for a head coach. This year it's for Roman Gabriel. Now, the Rams had some very good teams in the late 60s with George Allen. I distinctly remember a game that a playoff game with the Rams played the Vikings, I think, in 69, where the Rams were leading the whole game and ended up losing. Gabriel was very good. I think he's short as a Hall of Fame. He was the MVP of the league in 69, the MVP. But I think he's a little short. So it just shows you that these guys, you know, they get these little advocacy groups and they're loud. They're very loud. You know, you got to sit down. You got to do the research. I got nothing against Roman Gabriel. I got nothing against Tom Flores. But I got to do the best job I can and pick the right guy.
Real quick with Gabriel, I vaguely remember him with the Rams. Not enough to know if he was really good or not. But I remember when he was with the Eagles, and he was fighting with Norm Snead for the quarterback role. And he was awful with Norm Snead. It was going back and forth, him and Norm Snead. And I have to correct myself here. The linebacker I'm thinking of is Bill Berge with the Eagles.
Absolutely, Bill Berge. Bill Berge.
Him and Dobler had some wars. And he was like a 5- or 6-time Pro Bowler, Bill Berge was. He was tough. And so when you mentioned Vermeil, I thought, oh, no, is he trying to get Bill Berge in there?
By the way, one more thing, guys. And this I'm going to relate this to the Bucs a little bit. When we met as a centennial class in January in Canton to pick the expanded seniors, and that was the day that, you know, I was in there with 8 hours with Belichick and Ron Wolf and Polian. And it was a heck of an education to listen to these guys, Carl Peterson, and some writers, of course. Well, the guy that I made a speech for that day, I only made one, was Tommy Nobis. Tommy Nobis was the first pick in the draft, I think in 66, the very first pick. He's considered Mr. Falcon, and let's face it, the Falcons are not very well represented in Canton. They got Claude Humphrey, who also played for the Eagles. They got Deion Sanders, played for many teams. But when you think about a guy that's just Falcons, they ain't there. You know, and they've been around, you know, for 55 years. I mean, you know, they've had some good players. And Nobis played for some terrible Atlanta teams. I mean, 2-12, 3-11. It was a 14-game season in the late 60s. And the guy made the all-decade team of the 60s as a linebacker. And that's with Dick Butkus prowling around. And Nitschke. I mean, that ain't easy. And He's not in the Hall. And, you know, Levante David kind of reminds me of Nobis. Nobis was a sideline-to-sideline, tremendous college player at Texas. Yeah, one of the all-time great college linebackers. And never got, you know, much recognition on a yearly basis. Look, he's not in the Hall. He's an all-decade play. He made five Pro Bowls and can't get into Canton. And on a lesser scale, you got Levante David. I think the success of the 2020 Bucks could do wonders for Levante David's profile.
Sage, I just wanted to throw out there, Welker had over 900 catches, and in his 6 years with Brady, he averaged more than 100 catches a year. So that's just more competition for Rondae Barber, combined with the name recognition and all that. It's going to be a tough year, but we got faith in you, Ira. We got faith in you.
What was Welker's last playing season?
2015 with Denver.
Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he will be eligible.
Yeah, okay, yeah, this is his year. Last one, Ira, edge rusher, Devin White. Bucko Bruce Arians himself said that he wants better pass rushing from Levante David and Devin White. And I asked him, what can White do? And the Zoom broke up a little bit, but he said he's working on a counter move and he's working on some stuff where he can play off the edge. And maybe he can know what he's doing if he's an edge rusher. And, you know, that came up on this podcast when we discussed the edge rushing depth and the lack thereof with the Bucks. What are your thoughts there about Devin White sort of working on some edge rushing skills?
Well, it sounds like a little bit of a change in philosophy. Lee, wasn't the idea with David and White originally blitz up the middle, up the middle, up the middle? Am I wrong about that, Lee? Don't I remember
That was Arian's selling point. That's why they wanted to draft a middle linebacker at number five, as opposed to an edge rusher. Well, the reason why they drafted him, apparently he needs improvement on. So, and I'm not knocking Devin White. He's a hell of a player, but I just go back to what I've been harping on for years: sack the quarterback, sack the quarterback, sack the quarterback. Here, you know, if JPP goes down, Bucks are pretty much screwed as far as getting pressure on the quarterback.
Hey, beloved Ira Kaufman listeners, this is usually the spot where Ira gives his farewell to the podcast and a send-off, powerful, if not funny, address to get you through the rest of the week. But Ira's was so good this week that we moved it up earlier into the podcast. So I'm cutting it off here. We've got another episode, a third bonus episode coming this week. Of course, subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, wherever. We appreciate that. You'll get an alert when a new podcast comes. And thanks again to Bill Curry Ford, Big Storm Beer. Remember, every road game, Ira's going to be at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater, watching games with fans in their brand new outdoor covered seating area. It's just about finished. It's huge. It's going to be phenomenal. And again, outdoors, nice, safe environment. And our thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration. If you have any kind of problem, any kind of disaster, water, leak, mold, call them first. They'll guide you through the process. They're available 24/7. And they're a great help, even if you don't end up using them. FloridasElitereStoration.com. And, of course, BillCurryFord.com is the website to start shopping for a car, a truck, a crossover, BillCurryFord.com. Thanks again, everybody, and we will see you later this week.